Two Guys, One Podcast.
Today's contestants are a business intelligence consultant from Casca, Minnesota,
Brian Harris.
And our returning champion, a customer service representative from Austin, Texas,
Ron Alleman,
whose two-day cash winnings total
a whopping $7.23.
And now, here is the host of
Two Guys, One Podcast, Ron Alleman and Brian Harris. Mr. Ron the Al Alleman. Rob the Al Alleman.
Hello, Hitman.
Hitman Harris. Bam!
Bam.
Hitman.
I got you in the guts.
I'm starting to warm up to that name.
Yeah, it's a great name, man. Congratulations.
Well, not for the reasons you bestowed it upon me, which is flipping guys in the balls with a towel in the locker room.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is completely made up. That never happened. But, you know, that's how things become urban myth and ultimately become legend, is stories like that. The fake news that you're spreading out there to our listening audience.
There's always a little bit of truth behind those rumors. There's something there. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah, I mean, I was in a locker room. I think that's kind of where the truth begins and ends, you know? But anyway, so how you been, man?
I'm good, man. I have some exciting news to share with you.
Dun, 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 dun.
Exciting news.
Breaking news update from Two Guys, One Podcast. Now, with your breaking news, Mr. Ron the Al Alleman. Over to you, Ron.
Thank you, Brian. I am here in Casa de Alemán in Oak Park, Illinois, and I am happy to tell you that we have a new addition to the family. As of Saturday, we are the proud parents of a 10-week-old, 5-pound baby girl. Her name is MJ. She is a rescue dog. We rescued her.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Look at you, man. All right. What kind of dog are we talking about? And for those that don't know already, that's dog number two, because you've got Ditka running around.
We
right?
do. We got our big boy Ditka. Both dogs that we have now are rescue dogs. So we found her. My wife has been on the interweb constantly last few weeks. She's really wanted to have, you know, more than one dog. So we, you know, the last time when we picked out Ditka, it was Aiden's dog. Aiden was about 3.5 going on 4. And we got Ditka from a shelter up on the north side of Chicago. He's a mixed breed. We're not 100% sure what Ditka is. He's a hound of some sort. But so this little puppy, she came from Arkansas, and she was in what we were told it was a high kill shelter. So most of the dogs that go to the shelter never get out of it. So there was a foster family that she picked up, not only MJ, but like, I think it was like 5 or 6 of her siblings. So she had all of these puppies, and we found her online, man. So we're super happy. Now this dog is more like my wife's and Eddie's pick. Eddie's 5. So Aiden and I kind of just, you know, as we're looking through the websites, just like let those two kind of, you know, pick the dog that spoke to them, and we have her. And so far it's smooth sailing, my man. Great stuff.
How does she get along with my man Ditka?
They are getting along just well. Just very, very well.
I think just fine is what you wanted to go with.
They're getting along swimmingly.
Yeah, there you go. Swimmingly.
Can we say that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's appropriate. Yeah. Well, that's good, man. So is Ditka a dog that typically socializes?
I think
well?
I meant to say swell.
Swell.
Moving along, swell.
Swimmingly well.
Swell.
Yeah, swell.
Swimmingly well. There we go.
Swole.
Fuck.
No, swole is what you do at the gym. You get swole.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah, I get swole.
Yeah. Does Iron Mike, the actual Mike Ditka, does he know that you named a dog after him?
I sent him an email.
You did.
Just, yeah. I thought it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, sure.
He did not reply to such. There was no reply. Still waiting for him to reply. It was about 8 years ago.
You should probably up the frequency. You know, it's never on the first try with guys like that. You probably have to hit him at least once a week.
I might up it a little bit. I'm going to see if he still has any you know, care about that at all.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't want you to get any sort of weird copyright or, you know,
infringements
or anything. Yeah, so you have to make sure you get that box checked legally.
We both said infringements at the same time. That was nice. That was sweet.
Yeah, that was cool.
You don't get many moments like those.
No, it's, we're you and I, we're locked here, you know? All the best, man. It's always great getting a new pooch, you know?
Absolutely. Lots of fun.
So let's switch gears here, man. And I want to dive into something that I know is a trending topic. It's on everyone's mind at the moment. And it has to do with this ongoing saga that is coronavirus. And I just wanted to brainstorm with you a bit about the holy grail, the salvation of all salvations that seems to be tracking forward now with the Pfizer news, this vaccine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple of things that I bear a discussion amongst you and I here in the Two Guys, One Podcast Science Lab, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, typically a vaccine, as I've come to understand, the normal life cycle for developing a vaccine is 10 years at a cost of about $500 million. So that's point number one.
Yeah.
Point number two is the fact that there's many, many trials going on around the globe with various iterations of a vaccine. And by the way, a lot of these trials aren't going all that well, right? Mm. They've had, to my knowledge, two or three of these that have been stopped dead in their tracks because some aberration or some medical outcome with one of the trials crops up and lo and behold, someone gets really sick or something happens.
Right.
So I bring this all forward to ask you the question, Ron Alleman. When this vaccine that normally takes 10 years to get developed gets pushed forward in less than 9 months, is the Alleman family going to be first in line to take this thing?
Are we going to take the vaccine?
Yeah. Are you going to be on the front lines of this?
No, I'm never on the front lines of anything. When it comes to the vaccine, when it comes to the iPhone, I always kind of wait. I want to wait and see what happens. So let's let the other people go first.
That's where I'm
kinda
at.
Like when you have a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
And you don't pick that first slice or the second slice, you kind of go back in the bag for it, you know? I want that fresh piece. I want to make sure, let my family members eat that shitty bread in the front. I'm going for the back. That's what I'm doing too. I'll get in line, but I'm going to make sure I see what happens to these people. You know,
well, and that's,
how about
you? That's exactly where I'm at. And actually, here's another interesting data point. The vaccine that Pfizer is creating has to be stored at a temperature of negative 90 degrees Fahrenheit up until the time that it's administered. So the plan is to somehow distribute 300 million of these vaccines by way of storing it at a temperature of minus 90 degrees Fahrenheit. Doesn't that seem like a Herculean effort? I mean, how the fuck is that going to work?
I saw that. And did I hear right? Are they going to be giving the vaccines away?
Yes, that's what I've heard as well.
So think about the amount of money. Yeah, just to store it, just the storage. You know, it's mind-boggling. Like your mind's in a bottle.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling. Yeah, like how does that ultimately happen? And then also, you know, God forbid.
I mean, are they on the frozen planet of Hoth? Yeah, where are they going to store this stuff? Shit.
Yeah, it's beyond my reach to conceptualize. I just wonder, you know, what if the FedEx driver, you know, leaves it on the seat for a few minutes and then, you know, it's just rife with challenges to execute properly, in my opinion. So I'm right there with you. I'm not going to be in the front lines. And here's the other question, which we probably don't know the answer to yet. When is it going to be mandated that you have to take the fucking vaccine, right? Like, so in order for kids to go back to school, in order for people to go to work, I mean, is there going to be that kind of a rigid mandate? You must take this vaccine because God forbid, man, you don't know what's going to happen with this thing. My opinion is, you know, you take the thing and 2 years later, you've got like a third tit growing in the middle of your chest or something. I mean, who fucking knows? I mean, they have it.
Or you might develop gross disease.
Well, maybe the third tit would be, you know, that's probably the...
That's kind
of
fun.
Maybe there's something good that comes out of that. But it's just kind of scary, man. You know? I think it's just like, just wanted to get your take and it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out.
Yeah.
You know?
It'll be interesting. We're going to see what happens. I don't know when it's going to become, they say maybe like in the spring or summer. it could become available. And I did see something today regarding airlines, and I didn't see a mandate in particular, but I did see something. I was trying to pull it up right now, but I can't find it here in my on my browser. But I saw something that they were going to say it was going to be mandated or required for some types of travel. So I guess we'll see when that happens.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I think everybody is obviously optimistic that this vaccine is going to be a game changer, but you know, in order for a vaccine to be effective, and I hate to be Debbie Downer here, but in order for a vaccine to be effective, you have to have obviously a critical mass number of people taking the vaccine. And I would be willing to venture a guess that there's a lot of folks out there like you and I that don't want to be jumping to the front of the line to take this fucking thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's also, you know, we're very eager, all of us, to get our kids back in school. It's well documented on this show, the struggles we've had with the homeschooling thing. So that's the other side of the coin.
Well, I'll tell you what I finally did. I'm not sure if I think I mentioned this last week when we were talking to DC, but Aiden, his two hardest classes are math and design. So he has both those in the afternoons every other day. So now after lunch, he comes down for lunch. I have him bring all his shit with him. So his laptop, his books, everything he's going to need. And he and I sit there together and I'm in his math class with him.
Really?
And I'm in his design. Oh, I'm just there. I'm just on the other side of the island, like drinking coffee and and scrolling the interweb. But I erased that interweb once this podcast.
That's okay.
But yeah, I'm right there. I got him. So I got a hold of him now. So those are two classes. You know, the thing is for me, like I love math. Like math to me was great. Math I like because there's a definitive answer.
Well, and speaking of definitive answers, how's that for a transition?
Is another sad departure in the live entertainment world when we lost old Alex Trebek, man. What a fucking warrior that guy was.
Mr. Trebek, sick for a long time, man. That guy, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but when you look at him, did you see him walk on to the first episode of Jeopardy back in the day?
Yeah, he had the mustache, the dick broom.
The mustache, mm-hmm. The dark hair. What a handsome dude.
You know, he...
just a great guy.
He taped his last episode on the 29th of October, man.
Yeah, we went right up there to it, right?
Yeah, and it makes me wonder, you know, what is the right person to pick up? And for the rest of this conversation, I'd like you to phrase your responses and questions in honorarium.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What is the right follow-up to Alex, right? Who's going to step into that role? I've heard the name Jeff Probst from Survivor thrown around. But, you know, those are big shoes to fill.
Yeah, really big shoes to fill. I mean, obviously the game is going to go on.
You didn't phrase it as a question.
That's not the appropriate sound for when you get it wrong. It isn't like beep beep beep,
boop, boop, boop. Okay, boop, boop, boop.
There's no.
Boop, boop, boop.
That's when you run out of time. Beep beep beep, boop, boop, boop. When you get boop, it right, boop. Though, there's no sound when you get it right either.
There should be. Maybe that'll be the evolution of Jeopardy in the post Alex Trebek era.
I don't think so. Don't change it.
You don't want to fuck with your Jeopardy, though. It's pretty much perfection. But do you have any thoughts on someone to step in as the new host? And here's the next question before you answer: how long do you let the reruns marinate? I mean, you can't throw someone out there right away. I mean, that's not very.
You gotta get somebody out. I think you have to get someone out there kind of right away, like kind of in a hurry. Or what you maybe what you do is. You kind of do what first of all, you could let reruns. There's been so many. And what might be kind of fun, too, is if you go back to the early years and run some of those episodes, it might be kind of fun because you'll get to see Alex. A lot of people didn't see him when he was young. You could see that. And then all these questions. I mean, gosh, I don't know if they've ever repeated any questions or not. But, I mean, it'd be kind of fun to maybe see some episodes from, like, the 80s and 90s.
I agree. In fact, a while back, they were running some reruns from that era. And pretty comical to see the Jeopardy board back in the 80s.
It was a little bit different.
It was literally like hand stenciled above the different categories, not digital at all. And they look like miniature tube TVs across all the different
that's
categories.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah, you know?
So cool. What you could also do, what I was going to say, is like bring in like some celebrities, like just to do it for a week. Like, 1 week you could have, like J-Lo do it 1 week.
Like, what is J-Lo? Yeah. What is Robin Quivers from the Howard
Robin
Stern Show?
Quivers. Who is Robin Quivers? Who is J-Lo? Who is Howard Stern? Would be awesome at Jeopardy, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
I like that.
Maybe, what about if you brought back Chuck Woolery? Who is Chuck Woolery?
Oh, who is Chuck Woolery? Yeah. Or
Wheel of Fortune.
What is the opportunity to put that forward to, is it CBS? Who is the parent
ABC.
Company over Jeopardy? Oh, what is ABC?
What is ABC? Okay. I'd say one person that you can't bring on, which would just be so brilliant, Mr. Sean Connery.
Oh, Mr. Sean Connery, who's been parodied in a lot of ways on Saturday Night Live with Jeopardy. If you remember the episode where he said, "Alex, what is your mother is a whore?"
I pose a conundrum to you, a riddle, if you will.
I don't want to hear it.
What's the difference between you and a mallard with a cold? One's a sick duck. I can't remember how it ends, but your mother's a whore.
It's really good stuff. Alex Trebek and Sean Connery cutting it up on Saturday Night Live. It's very, very good stuff. Great parodies from back in the day.
Can I ask you a question? Is that your Sean Connery impression?
Yes, Ron, this is my Sean Connery. Do you take umbrage with it? Would you make any improvements, or does it sound okay?
I think for you it's pretty good. See, that's the kind of impression where you're going to have to dress up like Sean Connery. You know, maybe wear a Hunter Red October t-shirt. People know who you are.
The audience can't see it, Ron, but the hat I'm wearing is one that Mr. Connery would have donned on many of occasions.
I see you have the skid lid, as we call those back in Gary, Indiana.
What is a skid lid? I found a cure for cancer.
What is, I don't know the answer, but your mother is a whore.
Then I'm the cook of the walk.
Speaking of other, staying on Jeopardy parodies for a minute too, you'll remember the movie White Men Can't Jump, where Woody Harrelson's wife was an up-and-coming Jeopardy star,
yes,
right?
Rosie Perez.
Whoop, whoop. What is a kumquat?
Ooh, what is a kumquat, Alex?
I remember one of my favorite all-time Jeopardy parodies. You remember the show Cheers, right?
Of course.
Do you remember the episode when Cliff goes on and he gets served up these absolute dream categories? Check it out.
And here are the categories for you. Civil servants. Stamps from around the world. Mothers and sons. Beer. Bar trivia. And finally, celibacy.
And he absolutely runs the table, right? And so going into Final Jeopardy, it's like 50,000 for Cliff.
And all the other contestants have like 20, but Norm knows it's not going to hold up.
Can you believe it? Mr. Clavin's going into Final Jeopardy with $22,000.
Yeah, and I'm really depressed, too.
Why?
Now I know he's going to blow it before I have a chance to hit him up for a loan.
So the Final Jeopardy question comes up, and it's a difficult question, and he doesn't know the answer, and Norm leans over to Woody. He's like, he doesn't know it. And Woody's like, how do you know? He's like, you see that thin line of blood dripping down from Cliff's lower lip?
And it takes us to Cliff. Cliff, good news for you. Both of your opponents came up with incorrect responses, and what that means is that even if you're wrong, as long as you didn't do anything foolish like wager everything, you're a cinch winner.
Well, then we don't have to see my answer, do we there, Alex? Listen, we'll see you at the tournament of champions.
Cliff, we're running out of time, and we are going to have to take a look at your response. You wrote down, who are three people who have never been in my kitchen? No, that's who is wrong. The correct response is, what were the real names of Cary Grant, Tony Curtis, and Joan Crawford?
Be that as it may, Alex, those people have never been in my kitchen.
Well, I'm sure they haven't, but obviously that's not what we were going for when we wrote up that clue.
Obvious to who?
Cliff, it's all right. You don't have to worry. Unless you risk more than $21,600, you will be the new Jeopardy champion. So let's take a look and see what your wager was. You bet 22,000 big ones.
Pretty classic, right? Well, what is a sad, you know, moment for an iconic television program, and what is hope that they bring in a new host that can rise to the challenge, you know?
Yeah. I hear you. I think they'll find someone great. Until then, I'm happy to watch some of these reruns.
Agreed, my man. And with that, that's the end of today's episode. So thanks for allowing us to invade your personal space. And we will see you next time at Two Guys, One Podcast.
It's Two Guys, One Podcast.